Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Grace Driver, is an AmeriCorps member serving in the NCCC program in the Southwest region. Last year, she graduated from an arts high school in North Carolina, where she mainly studied painting and orchestral violin. Grace is excited to be on a journey of discovering who she is through spirituality and service. Good morning, Grace. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Grace, I'm so excited to have you. It's been a long, long time since I have had a young person like you on this show. So it's going to be really fun to chat with you and kind of get your perspective on what life is like out there and just talk with you about what you've been doing. First of all, would you give us an idea of what is AmeriCorps?
Yeah, so AmeriCorps is a federal agency for national service and volunteerism. That's the definition they give you on the website. Basically, it's a massive umbrella organization that has a bunch of smaller volunteer branches under it, like state and national, NCCC, and AmeriCorps seniors. I am part of NCCC, which stands for National Community Civilian Corps. It's a 10-month-long program open to 18 to 26-year-olds. You live and serve with a team of 8 to 12 people traveling across the U.S. and serving on at least 3 projects within the term. My team is called Sun One, and we've got 8 people. Right now, we're part of the Southwest region, meaning we serve in Colorado, Arizona, Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, Wyoming, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. There are 4 NCCC regions covering the entire U.S. The goal of NCCC is to develop leaders and strengthen communities through team-based national and community service.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing opportunity for a young person. So how is the you said a volunteer is committed to the organization for, what is it, 10 months?
Yeah, core members are committed for 10 months, and team leaders are committed for 11. The Southwest term is from October to July, so it's June right now, so we're coming up on graduation.
Oh, my goodness. And if you like it so well that you want to serve another 10 months, can you do that, or is that not an option?
Yeah, so technically, you can serve as many times as you want, as long as you're between 18 and 26. Most of the educational financial awards cut off after the second year, so most people do 1 or 2 years.
Very good. So there are finances involved then. Do they pay you in any way, or do you have to pay them to be a part of the program? How does that work?
Yeah, so there are a few financial incentives for students. At the end of the program, after graduation, you receive the equivalent of the Pell Grant, which right now is valued at $6,895. You can use this towards schooling in the future or on your past student loans that you've acquired. After the program ends, you have access to this money for 7 years. So if you decide to take a community college course in 5 years, you'd be covered. In addition to the grant, Corps members are paid a living stipend every 2 weeks. It's not an insane amount, but it covers going out for coffee and clothes and also covers saving up. A really big draw to the program, especially as a gap year, which is how I'm doing it, is that it doesn't cost anything to join. AmeriCorps pays for travel to and from campus, pays for the gas in our government vans, sets up housing, supplies us uniforms and PPE, and gives us a grocery budget every week. Most gap year programs are behind a paywall, making them inaccessible to most recent graduates. So AmeriCorps is really good for that.
Sounds like a really nice deal for folks. See, I had no idea if they paid you in any way or if there was any kind of an incentive. So I'm glad that you shared all that with us. That's really neat. So Grace, what motivated you to become a part of the AmeriCorps project? Where did you hear about it? And what made you decide that, hey, maybe this is something I would like to look at for myself after school?
Yeah. So I joined it for a few reasons. For starters, I felt like I wasn't ready to go straight to college. I applied in my senior year of high school, but my school that I'm going to is a commuter campus, meaning that I would have to get an apartment and buy groceries and basically go straight into being an adult while starting my freshman year of college. And I had always wanted to do a gap year before college, and AmeriCorps presented an affordable way to learn to live on my own while helping give back. Being from a city suburb, I was pretty sheltered in terms of what America looked like and how different communities lived. I had always wanted to help build up communities and the people in them. Back home, there wasn't really a culture of doing that or any meaningful ways I could help. So AmeriCorps presented me with an opportunity to get out into the country and experience a lot of different places and serve on a lot of different projects. I had heard about it. I was looking for gap year programs right before COVID, and my mom had sent me the website just randomly, and I looked at it for a little bit and kind of dismissed it. And as I was nearing the end of my senior year of high school, I remembered it, and I was like, you know what? That'd be fun. I could give that a shot for 10 months, see if I like it. And I'm really glad I joined.
Well, good. And I can't help but ask, you say you come from more or less of a city environment. How do you feel being out here in southeastern Colorado in our little tiny town with one stoplight and one fast food restaurant in the whole town?
It was definitely a change. I remember we were driving down here and we were taking bets on how many stoplights would be in the town. I guess one, and I won that bet. I'm really proud of that. But I was excited to get to live in a small town environment because I had never really done that before. My college is in New York City, so, you know, I'm definitely not going to have a small town environment up there. So I was excited about the sense of community and just seeing how people lived out here.
Seeing how things are different, yeah, than in the city environment. Well, I'll share with you just briefly that I came out here many years ago and from the South Shore of Long Island is where I grew up in New York. I was working at a VA hospital in the Hudson River Valley area. And when I decided to transfer here, people were teasing me. They said, you'll find out that you're going to drive and drive and drive and drive and there's nothing. There's just nothing. And all of a sudden there's this building and that's going to be the hospital you're working at. I had some roommates that were from the Twin Cities area. We laughed about the brochures that this hospital out here used to put out because they showed these beautiful pictures of the mountains. It's like, no, ain't happening. You don't look out your front door in this little town in Colorado and see Pikes Peak. So, yeah, it was a change for me, too, but I loved it. I never did like living in a crowded area, so I was just as happy to be out here in the wide open spaces. Tell us about the projects you've been involved with so far.
All right. This is my favorite thing that people ask me. Talking about the program is, you know, fun and games, but, like, the real story is what we've done and where we've been and what experiences we've been blessed to have. So our first project was in Little Rock, Arkansas. We worked at a Presbyterian summer camp called Ferncliff, and we also worked for Habitat for Humanity. At the summer camp, we trail built around the camp, repaired outdoor areas, and just kind of did like general maintenance. At Habitat, we helped finish a home in the city and cleared a lot for a second home. At the first home, we installed floors, drywall, cabinets, windows, doors, gutters, and painted with hundreds and hundreds of gallons of builder's white. Now let me let you in on a little secret. Before I joined this program, I didn't know how to use a drill. At Habitat, I was 6 feet up in the air, screwing in ceiling drywall that I had cut and measured.
Oh my. Wow, Grace. It makes me wish that I had taken part in a program like that years ago, because let me tell you, I am many, many, many years older than you, and my daughter comes over and does anything that needs to be done with a drill.
It was quite the learning curve, but I was so excited to learn. We just came from a project in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. We were working at a historic summer camp called Perry Mansfield, dedicated to providing theater and dance education to kids. We helped the camp get ready for summer by repairing and cleaning out cabins, fixing snow damage, restoring the historic Julie Harris Theater, landscaping, and giving many, many, many buildings a desperately needed fresh coat of paint. Now, let me tell you about my favorite project. Our second project was in St. Louis, Missouri, and I feel so lucky to have been able to be a part of it. So we were in St. Louis for 3 months, helping with restoration efforts at Greenwood Cemetery. Greenwood was a historic African-American cemetery, which was operational from 1872 to 1993. It was non-secular and had over 50,000 people buried there. When I heard cemetery at the brief, I expected, you know, green grass, neat gravestones. I figured the project work would be like mowing grass and cleaning headstones. I was not even close. I remember on our first day thinking we had gone to the wrong address. We pulled up to this plot of land that was like dense with trees and vines and trash. It looked like a forest. You could not see more than 5 feet through, much less see that it was a historic graveyard. The section we were working on hadn't seen maintenance in about 30 years. There was 30 years of tree growth, winter creeper growth, 30 years of unchecked honeysuckle, and garbage buildup. Some of that trash was older than me. One day I found an MC Hammer cassette tape, probably dropped circa 1992. At Greenwood, we spent our days felling trees, chainsawing through honeysuckle bushes, raking, which it was really more like ripping up winter creeper, and wood chipping so much more mulch than we knew what to do with. Those 3 months were definitely the hardest I have ever worked in my entire life. There were days I would hop out of the van and be met with like a sprinkle of snow in my eyes, or there'd be days where I hopped out and immediately started sweating through my uniform. I remember I'd be laying on my cot at night, dozing off to sleep, thinking about, you know, which hurt less, my arms, my legs, or my feet. We walked about 8 miles on a good day. At the end of the 3 months, though, our section was unrecognizable. We had put in mulch roads, low stumped about every tree or bush for the foreseeable area, and raked the ground bald of winter creeper. When I think back on that project, I feel so much love and joy. Like, yeah, it was hard work, but now I know how to run and maintenance a chainsaw like a forester, and I know that I had a hand in uncovering history. So if you're ever in St. Louis, and check out Greenwood Cemetery in Hillsdale. When you walk that mulch road down near the bottom, know that that's Sun One holding you up.
Can you imagine the joy that you have brought to the family members of those who are buried in that cemetery? It must just be wonderful for them to be able to actually go there and spend time. Some people like to go and, you know, spend time at the final resting place of their loved ones. And wow, what brightness you have brought into people's lives by doing that project. You are to be congratulated for that, you and your whole team. Wow, that really sounds like something very special. And I can tell by the excitement in your voice that, boy, it was just a project you're very proud of, and you should be. You definitely should be.
It was a great project. I owe all my thanks to the Cemetery Preservation Association president, Rafael Morris. He was out there every day with us, chainsawing right beside us, weed eating right beside us. And he was like in his late 70s, and he was out there every single day. He'd work harder than we did. But he was so passionate about the graveyard, and it really rubbed off on us, and we all love that project. And God, it's a fantastic place.
Oh, it sounds like it would be an amazing place to go and visit. We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Grace Driver, an AmeriCorps member serving in the NCCC program in the Southwest region. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That is spelled PATTISHENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest websites, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Grace. I know that you're here in my town. What kind of projects are they doing here? In the past, they've done home restoration, painting, a little bit of fence building, things like that. Is that the type of thing that you're doing here?
The official, I guess, title of our project was code enforcement. And when they told us that, I was like, I have no idea what that means. But basically, our first week, we were doing like landscaping of either abandoned houses or houses of people that couldn't really take care of the yard. This week, we are helping lead Paint and Connect. I'm really excited about that. I love painting. So we have three different houses all over town, and we're basically repainting the outside and helping fix up the windows and doing minor repairs on the outside of the house. And then next week, I believe we will be at Boggsville, which is a historic site. I think we're doing cleanup there, I believe. So we'll be doing that next week. I'm really excited about all of it.
Oh, yes. I'm quite familiar with Boggsville. We did a huge camping event with the Boy Scouts out there many, many years ago. We had like hundreds of Boy Scouts come. What do they call it? A camperee? And then, Grace, I'm not kidding you. I think it started raining as soon as we pulled in, and I don't think it quit until we left Sunday afternoon.
That's where you make the best memories.
A lot of the troops just picked up and left, but our scoutmaster was so proud of our boys. They stuck it out, and they dug trenches around their tents. It was just crazy. It was just crazy. They learned a lot about roughing it for sure that weekend, and so did I.
There you go. It builds character.
Well, I hope you enjoy Boggsville. I think you will. I think you'll really enjoy being out there. Well, Grace, when I introduced you, you said, this is your words, that you are excited to be on a journey of discovering who you are through spirituality and service. So would you share with us, what have you learned about yourself, about other people, and about God and your relationship with Him through your service with AmeriCorps?
So I've learned so much more about myself than I thought was possible. I knew I would grow and change, you know, like that's the nature of growing up. But this program has taught me so much, from practical skills to confidence in myself and my future. I've learned how to use a drill, as we've heard. I've built a lawnmower. I've climbed up on the roofs of houses. I've cut down 200-foot tall trees, and I've run multiple industrial floor sanders. That was a wild week, let me tell you. I've had so many experiences that I really could not have gotten anywhere else. Like, what retail job would let me drive a tractor through a mulch pile on my first day? I've learned life skills. I know how to budget for groceries and how to cook nutritious but delicious meals. This is my first time living on my own away from home. Going from a pretty quiet three-person household to living in an office space or a church or a camp cabin with seven other people was quite the change. I definitely struggled at times. I kept coming back to this idea, like, guys, growing up is really hard. I'm not the first person to ever think this. This isn't a groundbreaking discovery. Literally every person under the sun goes through the process of moving out and becoming an adult. But like, hey, that doesn't mean it isn't hard. I've learned, like, growing up is scary and uncomfortable, and like, everything's changing, and oh my gosh, nothing's ever going to be the same. But that doesn't mean that growing up isn't beautiful. Like, yeah, I'll never be 16 again, where my biggest concern is like what eyelashes I'm going to wear to the school formal. But I get to go and experience new places and new people and learn so much about the world. I've learned that almost all people are good at heart, and everyone has something they can teach you. You just have to be willing to listen. It's been a humbling experience, but I feel like I'm better because of it. Now, before I talk religion, I do have to say AmeriCorps, being a government program, is not associated with any particular religion. Any views or statements made about religion, they're my own, not AmeriCorps. I don't speak on behalf of them. I'm speaking for myself. All right.
Right.
Now that we've got that clear and I won't get a letter from my media boss yelling at me, let's continue. I've learned that a lot of organizations serving within communities, especially the more rural ones, are related some way to a church. A lot of active community members, you know, going out of their ways to build up their town and its inhabitants, are also active members of a faith. Back home for me, faith isn't really a big part of the culture. people have their religion and their religions and their church and their temples, but nothing ever really comes out of that. I had never associated religion with good works in the community. I've seen a lot of different communities with a lot of different needs, and a thread that can link everything together is faith. I've really been like mesmerized by the devotion these members have to their community. It sometimes parallels their devotion to faith. And I'm not saying one needs a parish to do good. That isn't true at all. There are plenty of secular organizations making the communities better every day. I'm saying that I now recognize devotion and God as a force for good. Growing up in the Bible Belt, I didn't really have the best experiences with faith and church. A lot of the messaging I received from church and kind of religion as a whole was that of control and fear. I had been taught, you know, as early as preschool that certain ways my family, my friends, or even myself lived were wrong and immoral. I wasn't causing any harm to myself or others. I was living, you know, how I felt as my best self. This kind of hate and like fear-based messaging made me turn my back on the idea of church as a whole. I was like, if they won't support me, why should I listen to them? But like, I really struggled with this because I knew I still believed in a higher power. I agreed with the message of, you know, Jesus's unconditional love. It was hard for me to kind of step away from that community. Through seeing these church organizations and talking with members who believe in doing good for the community, my eyes have been opened to a different side of religion. I've learned that there is way more than fear and hate-based messages. And in fact, those messages represent a very loud minority. I've been incredibly thankful to everyone I've met for opening my eyes to like the love-based side of religion. I feel like there's finally a place for me and my kind of unconventional ways at the table of faith. I recognize that, you know, in faith, as in life, there are good and bad parts, but the good parts will always outshine and outweigh the bad.
Well, thank you for being transparent and being honest about your feelings, Grace. And like I said, I was looking forward to talking with you because you are a younger person, much younger than many of the people that I have on the show. And it's kind of nice to get the perspective of a young person. I always said, I'm not so much of a fan of religion as I am of relationship with Jesus. And to me, that's the crux of everything as far as my faith goes. So, sometimes religion can be very, like you say, fear-based. So, yes, I'm glad that you shared that and you have learned those things. And I just love the enthusiasm in your voice when you talk about what you have learned and the way you feel about things. And I didn't know this until I received your bio. Tell us about your interest in music. You studied orchestral violin. My goodness, that's pretty neat. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I started studying violin in sixth grade, so junior high. I wanted to play it. Oh, I remember being like 6 or 7 begging my parents for lessons. And they were like, no, like wait until you get older, you know. We don't want to pay for lessons and then have you drop it in like a month. And I was like, okay, that's fair. But like, I really want to do this. So I kind of grew up in school in the orchestra playing, you know, everything from like classical to Baroque to playing transcribed like AC/DC pieces. So music was a really big part of, you know, my childhood and growing up. And as I got older, I realized, you know, I love listening to music. I love playing music. When COVID hit, me and 3 of my friends were like, well, we don't have anything else to do. Like, school's canceled. We should start a band. So we met once a week and we just played, you know, like covers of rock songs we liked, and just we had a good time with it. I picked up the drums for them, and you know, we never were like, we're gonna sign to a label. Nah, we just had fun with it, and it was a source of like joy and connection for me through COVID. So it's helped me, I guess, playing music, listening to music, the idea of music even, has helped me through, you know, growing up and kind of becoming my own person, figuring out, what do I like to do? Who am I? You know, stuff like that.
We started our band in first grade when I was going to school. And I played clarinet for 12 years. I could not play a single note on the thing today if somebody handed me one, but I enjoyed it. My dad was a piano player, and he played by ear. And oh my goodness, how I wish I had that God-given talent. I don't. I can play a little bit with music, but I would have to practice long and hard on one piece before I would let anyone hear me play it. So I admire people that are into music and that do well with accomplishing learning an instrument. Congratulations to you and the thought of your band. That sounds like a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, thank you. We practice in my garage, and sometimes when I go home, I come home from AmeriCorps, my neighbors will come up and ask me, are you in that band still playing? We miss hearing you. And I have to go, no, you know, we've all kind of moved away, and like, I'm doing AmeriCorps, and they're off at college. So, it's fun.
So after AmeriCorps, Grace, what are your plans? Do you plan to pursue any kind of music or painting, or what is your future career goals?
Yeah, career goals, I guess they're not really artistic, but still very cool. I want to be a medical examiner.
Awesome.
Like criminal autopsies.
Wow.
I think that's really cool. So next year, I'm going up to school in New York City to get a BS in forensic science. And then after that, I think I want to move back to North Carolina and go to medical school there. I think there's like 6 medical schools in North Carolina now. They just keep popping up. But I think I want to go there, get a doctorate. And then I don't know after that. I don't know if I want to stay in North Carolina or if I want to try and get a job with a different state government. But I figure I've got about 10 years before I have to make that decision, so I've got some time.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, it's not like you have to be in any rush, but I think that medical examiner field would be quite fascinating, so good deal. I'll be interested to keep in touch with you and see how things go for you after you leave.
Thank you, yeah. Let you know how New York City's treating me.
Oh, my goodness. You know, the funny thing was, growing up on Long Island like I did, we lived about 50 miles out of the city, and I want to say I went to the city maybe 4 times in all of the 20 years I lived there.
Wow.
We were just not city people, and I think the only time I really went to the city was like with a school trip. And my grandmother took my sister and I to the city for our first train ride on the Long Island Railroad. But no, I was definitely not a city girl. New York is a beautiful state, and a lot of people are under the impression that when you say you're from New York, that you come from like the 87th floor of some 120-story skyscraper in the city. That's not necessarily true, because there's a lot of rural areas in New York State that are just absolutely fantastically beautiful. And you know what? Being young like you are, it will be exciting, I'm sure, to be going to school in the city and seeing the city and living there and having all that excitement too.
I'm really excited, yeah.
I want to wish you the very, very best. Oh my goodness. It's just so neat to talk to a young person who's just all enthused and have your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be experiencing life.
Well, this AmeriCorps experience sounds like a wonderful one for young people too. Like you say, pick up some skills that you never dreamed you would even want to pursue, and also to pick up those life skills that young people need to learn about budgeting and cooking and shopping and doing all those fun things that are a part of the adult world, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic experience. I highly, highly, highly recommend it for anyone who's even considering taking a gap year, either, you know, between high school or college, if you're in between college, if you graduated and you're like, oh, what do I do? AmeriCorps. Give it a year. You'll come out better because of it.
Sounds like it. Yes, most definitely. Well, I'm so glad you shared with us today. Grace, I want to thank you for coming on the show on such short notice. I just barely met you, but when I found out that you were with the team that's here at our church, I was so excited.
I thank you so much for having me on. I love talking about AmeriCorps. I love talking about my future plans. Love talking about what I've learned. I'm always, always thrilled to share.
Well, we certainly appreciate you sharing today. I've enjoyed listening to what you've had to say, and I'm sure that my listeners will as well. So may God continue to bless you and in all of your future plans and whatever he has in mind for you.
Thank you. You as well.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.